North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Morning. You've tuned into North Idaho News of the Week. It's Friday, December 12th. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you this fine day?
I am fine.
It's a little bit drippy again.
It is, yeah.
After a really nice dry day yesterday, actually.
Yeah, the sun kind of peaked out. It turned into a surprisingly nice day, considering that the forecast had kind of called for rain all week. But yeah.
The atmospheric river continuing its pillaging here.
We're joined also by Sansare Mitchell. She is the senior writer for the Sandpoint Reader. Good morning, Sansare.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here in the studio. And that weather event, that atmospheric river, is actually in the news. Probably the biggest event going on right now at this time of year is weather-related. And I'll start our headlines right now. Widespread flooding in Lincoln County, Montana, has washed out bridges and swamped some roadways in neighborhoods around Libby, prompting officials to issue emergency travel restrictions. The sheriff's office requested necessary travel only countywide because of the risk of flooding and mudslides. Here in Bonner County, historic flooding has triggered a countywide flooding state of emergency due to various roads being washed out. Residents of Clark Fork have been ordered to evacuate following the flooding and closure of Lightning Creek Road and East Spring Creek Road. Bonner County Road and Bridge Department officials also urge residents to use caution when driving on Trestle Creek Road and Johnson Creek Road. The roads are open but are currently being worked on. Alternate routes of access to the area are limited, according to the sheriff's office. And people are encouraged to stay out of the area for ingress and egress of emergency services. In other kind of bridge-related news, federal aid for a bridge grant application to replace the bridge over the Boyer Slough in Kootenai was unanimously approved by county commissioners. In addition to Bonner County Road and Bridges grant application request, the department was also approved for a temporary property use agreement. Road and Bridge staff presented the request to county commissioners during Tuesday's business meeting. And the grant application, the details of it, the project's expected to cost around $4.8 million. The grant application requests $3.8 million, and that is towards replacing the Whiskey Jack Road Bridge. And yes, that's out in Kootenai. Also, statewide news, Idaho is projected to face between a $600 million and $1 billion budget deficit in fiscal year 2027, which begins on July 1st of 2026. It's already facing a roughly $58 million deficit in the current fiscal year. As the legislative session approaches, various groups are weighing in with plans to resolve the shortfall, and the Idaho Freedom Foundation, which is an influential conservative think tank in Boise, has proposed cuts to state programs totaling $1.9 billion in order to balance the budget. The biggest cut proposed would be to eliminate Idaho's Medicaid expansion program. And the Freedom Foundation does carry a lot of weight in Boise. So this is something to be taken seriously. The This would reverse the ballot initiative that was passed in 2018 to expand Medicaid eligibility to adults who earn too much to qualify for traditional Medicaid but not enough for premium credits to afford private coverage through the state health insurance marketplace. The Department of Health and Welfare in fiscal year 2026 had requested around $1.3 billion from all funding sources to fund the program. Services are 90% covered by the federal government, and the state covers the remaining 10%. Let's see here. Here in the city of Sandpoint, City Hall is going to host a... Hold on, let me get the language right. A workshop. It is going to be called a workshop on the City Beach RV park concepts. But here's a little information. It is not a drop-in type thing like an open house or a town hall. If people want to participate, they should be at this workshop by 9:30 in the morning. There will be table groups set up with facilitators for each table and won't go past 11 o'clock a.m. And also the survey will close after the workshop tomorrow. So please let people... I'm just reading from my telephone here, so... So people should be aware that they have one more day to complete the survey on the RV park. That's on the city's website, sandpointidaho.gov/RV park survey. www.sandpointidaho.gov/RV park survey is the place to submit your input to the city, and the workshop is tomorrow at City Hall on the proposed RV park down at City Beach. And in Bonner County news, Bonner County's partnership with the Bonner County Fair Board is to be clarified following years of interesting news stories from the Fair Board and following the December 4th meeting of the Bonner County Commissioners. And that's what Sansari Mitchell is here to talk to us about. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into that. Is there any other headlines anybody would like to bring to the attention?
Mentioned that poor Schweitzer is in fact still open.
Okay.
Today, but probably barely. They're, according to their website, temperatures are going to be, in the mid-30s today, and Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we're still looking at temperatures that are pushing 40, and even not even getting down below freezing at night, according to the three-day weather forecast. But it's open today, and this is the last day of kids ski free, so... if you got a kid you want to get up on the mountain, you still have a little chance. And I thought I would read a little funny daily message. If you go to their conditions report, the snow reporter usually puts something up there, and I'll just read a couple of sentences here. This is from Schweitzer. Good morning. This message is for winter. It's Schweitzer Mountain Resort reaching out from Pacific Northwest. Yeah, we had you scheduled for a very important appointment up here and expected you by now. It appears you're running a little late. It's of utmost importance that you show up for this appointment. Your timely presence is kindly requested.
Well, so, that's very nice.
I get a little bit of humor there, but yeah. We're having some pretty weird weather. You mentioned the flooding that happened here locally, not so much, but some of our rivers were over their banks. The Pack River was over its banks on the Sandpoint Online, my day job. Facebook page, we posted a little video clip there of flooding by the Pack River store. Not getting close to the store itself, but you can see the water over the banks. And it's of keen interest. It's 23,000 people have looked at it now. So,
I was kind of surprised to read that the what was going on in Clark Fork and in Lincoln County, because it's been very rainy, but I here we haven't had to deal with
The East Spring Creek Road is not just closed, it's washed out. So there you could probably walk around the washed out part, but you certainly can't drive right now.
Yeah.
So
I would like to issue a quick correction, and thanks to our listeners for reminding me that the workshop on the City Beach RV Park is actually at the James E. Russell Community Room. It is not at City Hall.
I should have caught that myself.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, it's...
Have you taken the survey?
I haven't, actually.
Sanchi, no. Have you taken the survey?
You know, I'm not a city resident.
Well, okay. You don't have to be. You're a City Beach user.
I sure am. Yeah.
You work in the city. Mm-hmm. You're in the city every day. I think, you know, they, of course...
They'll be interested to read my survey responses.
Yeah, they'll want to... I will say, though, leave a few minutes. It's kind of involved. You do a bunch of different weighted answers, like, on scale 1 to 10 type things. So it's going to be interesting to see how they even dissect that information.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's a big, it's what happens down at City Beach is going to be of major impact. So, everybody who's interested should fill out that survey. And again, the meeting is tomorrow from 9:30 to 11, and it's at the James E. Russell Center in the community room. It is not at City Hall. Bonner County and the Bonner County Fairgrounds have been frequently in the news for many years, actually. Where do you want to start with this one, Sansere? How far back do we want to go to start the story and bring us up to date? What's the most relevant, I guess, background information that people should have? Do you want to go back to like 2022 or I don't know?
Yeah, we can go back a few years for starters, just for context. The fairgrounds has been having some issues with their finances. It is a mostly cash business, and so they had some issues cataloging. Some of the numbers weren't right. There was a lot of speculation about what that meant, and that was complicated by the untimely death of the fairgrounds manager, Darcy Smith. And so the fair board, on multiple fair boards, honestly, at this point, have been working tirelessly with the Bonner County Board of Commissioners to get their finances in order, to figure out their personnel. And even starting back then, there was a question of who the fairgrounds employees actually worked for, if it was the county or if it was the fair board. And so that's the big issue that came to light on December 4th at that meeting, where the county's HR director, who is in charge of the fairgrounds personnel, brought forward all of these issues. Where essentially he was saying that these workers, they don't know who they report to, they don't know which orders they should follow depending on who they get them from, and it was all just very muddled and confused. So he was asking for clarification on who they work for, and according to the legal opinions of the people who were there at the time, they determined that, yes, the fairgrounds employees, even though we call them fairgrounds employees, they're county workers. They're paid by the county. They're hired by the county. And so they are under the responsibility of the BOCC. And so the issue came from the fact that the commissioners were saying essentially, let's clarify that they report to us. We're not changing anything, but it's been unclear in the past. And so they did vote to change the job descriptions to better emphasize that. Now, this was not well received by lovers of the fairgrounds. There was a lot of public comments worried about taking power and resources away from the fair board, especially when the fair board is just now sort of getting back on their feet and trying to get everything at the fairgrounds under control. And the commissioners, Commissioner Domke and Korn, who were at the December 4th meeting, specified and clarified quite a few times that, you know, this isn't technically a change, and the fairgrounds did nothing wrong. The fair board has power vested to it by the Board of Commissioners. and they can give more power, they can give less. It's not explicitly stated in state statute what extra powers the Fair Board has. And so the Fair Board was operating under historical precedents. This is what past BOCCs have wanted them to do. And now that everything's all mixed up and muddy, they're thinking, oh, maybe we don't want to imbue them with this much responsibility because they are a volunteer board. And we're talking about actual county employees and county employee relations. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the major issues. The other one was at the December 4th meeting. They also talked about clarifying the Fair Board's powers going forward. Again, not just with regards to the employees, but also saying, like, so the Fair Board was created in state statute to run the fair, but the Fair Board right now runs the fairgrounds outside of the time of the fair. They do the Christmas craft fair, and they help with the Renaissance Festival and things like that. And so they didn't make any decisions, but they're going to go ahead and host some meetings, some public workshops to figure out if the fair should be treated more like a tenant and just have the time immediately before, during, and after the fair to have the run of the place, or if they should be a little more involved in scheduling every other event that comes through there. And the issue that's come up with that is that the commissioners readily admitted that they don't have any experience as event coordinators. That's not part of their job. That's not necessarily something that they want to take on. But on the flip side, the fairgrounds does have a fair manager who is separate from the Fair Board, who is a county employee, who could theoretically take on those sort of scheduling duties and work with the existing county employees. So there was a question of, will it increase budget line items? Will it stress people out and give them too much work? Is it fair to the Fair Board, who's had this historically for so long? And then this was complicated at the December 9th regular business meeting, because Commissioner Asia Williams, who had not been at the December 4th, she had a prior engagement in Coeur d'Alene, she voiced some opposition not only to the votes that her fellow commissioners made, but to the meeting as a whole. And that, she said, is because the December 4th meeting was agendized as action item discussion decision regarding fair, fairgrounds, fair board. And under Idaho open meeting law, when you schedule a meeting, you have a duty to report what actually is going to be talked about at that meeting. And frankly, that is very vague. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what they were going to be discussing. I knew it was going to happen, so that was good. So Commissioner Williams alleged that this was actually an Idaho open meeting law violation, and that the meeting was improperly noticed. And she reached out to the prosecutor's office and received a legal opinion that said, yes, it is kind of vague, but it's close enough. This is not an open meeting law violation. Commissioner Williams sort of persisted with that and said, you know, I'm not going to take this to a higher authority. It's not worth it, but I will publicly disagree, put that on record. And so there was a little tension between her and her coworkers at that regular business meeting. There was some things that weren't directly said, but sort of said into the microphone, like, oh, one of my coworkers thinks that this. So they were throwing a bit of shade, as the Gen Z say. Mm-hmm. And there were quite a few people who got up to speak on behalf of the Fair Board and the fairgrounds, who are mostly volunteers, who were expressing a lot of frustration, anger, hostility, especially towards Commissioner Korn, who had made the motion at the December 4th meeting. And members of the public definitely got a few of the details wrong. They were talking about December 4th as if it were an emergency meeting that wasn't noticed, which it was not. It was just a special meeting. They were arguing that the board has already stripped the Fair Board of a lot of its power, which they did clarify the role of the employees. So to a certain extent, you can see that, but not to the extent that a lot of people were claiming. And so Commissioner Korn was cautioning people. He was a little defensive about what he called rumors and misinformation. So going forward, hopefully at the workshops, it'll be a little more open dialogue, a little less hostility, and the commissioners will hopefully do a better job of communicating with the Fair Board, because, of course, they were not represented at the December 4th meeting, which Chair Brian Domke said was because that was the board receiving a legal opinion. And so it didn't really necessitate the Fair Board's presence. But they've promised that going forward, they will have a seat at the table and will be able to discuss things further.
It's so it raises a couple questions for me. I'm pretty sure that the fairgrounds is financed out of just the regular county general fund, right? It's not a special taxing district.
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, that right there would kind of give the commissioners purview, and they basically control the budget for the fairgrounds. And insofar as how much is going to go in there in terms of taxes. And now the fairgrounds, of course, generates its own money from all the events it has, but I don't think that's enough to cover the operations for the year. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the question, this comes down to, you know, how are we going to organize to best operate this public asset? And I wonder how other, you know, like Spokane has a big, robust fair in fairgrounds, right? And Kootenai County does. Are they organized differently? Do you know?
I'm not sure. The commissioners have said that they're going to reach out to neighboring counties and see how they structure things, which was another point of criticism from the public. They were saying, well, you should have done that before you voted. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they discover. Mm-hmm. And to your other point, the fairgrounds financials is also complicated by the fact that we do have tax money that goes to them from the county, but they are in charge of the money that they make during the fair. And historically, the county has not had access to that and has not audited. They don't have a responsibility to audit, to be clear. So now they're getting more involved in the financials, and they had an external auditor come in, and the Fair Board has and the county have hired a new bookkeeper and elected a new treasurer. So the financials are a mess, and everybody admits that, and everything is mixed up there. So that's another division of powers that they really haven't figured out yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it also kind of brings to mind the fact that they had a $400,000 grant to build out an RV park there that could have generated some revenue for the fairgrounds too. But, and I can't remember where the Fair Board was on that. That came into question because Sheriff Wheeler said, no, that property should be, you know, held in its kind of unused state because we might need it for our future justice center, since they're right there adjacent to the fairgrounds. But was the fairgrounds in favor of doing the RV park? Do you know that history?
If I remember correctly, I believe they were against it. They are, at least currently, very much against any kind of development on that land. And that's one of the things they're worried about with the commissioners taking more control of the grounds, is potentially developing the RV park, potentially developing a justice service center for the sheriff. And I believe at the time when they received that grant, County Commissioner Luke Ahmet was on the board.
Yes.
And he attended one of the fairgrounds meetings just as a member of the public, and they were not happy about that, and they attempted to trespass him and sort of have him arrested. Yeah. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was another big mess.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah, so I guess it's what's next now?
Now they will, so from the fair board's side, the bookkeeper and the treasurer are working very hard to figure out what's gone wrong in the past and make sure it doesn't happen going forward, and fix quite a few issues that they've already uncovered. They were only hired and chosen in November, and they already discovered that there were quite a few checks that just had the wrong numbers written down, and things weren't entered correctly into QuickBooks, so they don't actually know the proper expenses and revenue from last year. So that'll be a big focus for them. And then the commissioners and the fair board going forward will have to sort of negotiate the fair board's powers and their tenure at the fairgrounds, because the commissioners do seem to be looking at sort of reducing the time that they have the run of the place. And as many of the public commenters said, okay, you can say that the fair is, I don't even know how long the fair is, a week long, 2 weeks long? I wasn't a 4-H
kid.
It's
like four or five days, yeah.
You can say that, oh, they need 6 weeks to do all of this stuff and to set up and take down and have the fair, but that doesn't account for all of the hours spent gathering the musical guests, making sure that all of the animals are properly cared for, and advertising. So it takes a lot longer to plan the fair than 6 weeks. And so the question going forward is going to be, well, even though it takes longer to plan, can they plan without having run of the fairgrounds? Or do they need to actually be there in that space?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Real quick, okay. The county commissioners clarified the roles of county employees. In what way were those roles clarified? I mean, where was the kind of where was the point of disagreement there, or where what was unclear about the roles before?
So they just they didn't change anything except to emphasize that the county employees that work at the fairgrounds report to the county commissioners, not to the fair board. So the fair board does not issue their orders, because the fair board does not hire them, fire them, pay their wages. And specifically, they said that the fairgrounds manager has no reporting responsibility to the fair board, which it's been a question of how much the fairgrounds manager relates to the fair board, and especially with his job, helping with the financials, helping with the planning, everything. Does he have is it necessary that he goes and tells the fair board everything and asks for permission for things? And they clarified that no, it is not. He doesn't have any reporting responsibility to them. He does have a responsibility to coordinate with them. That's a big part of his job, and the fairgrounds employees do as well. So they're not saying cut out the fair board, but they are saying, you know, you can make decisions, you can do things that prioritize the county, and you won't have to seek permission from the fair board.
Mm. Who is the fair board? What is this body? Who's on this this body? And how are they determined? Are they appointed by county commissioners? Are they elected in some way? Do you know how the process works? And are they new? Or is this the same board that's been there since, you know, for a while?
I can't give you a comprehensive history. I know that everyone on the fair board currently, I believe, is has a long history with the fairgrounds. We heard from many people in the public comment sections of the recent meetings that have been I mean, I think one woman said she was a seventh generation volunteer. She had her young child there who was there in a papoose and then in a stroller and a wagon, things like that. The board, all of their profiles are available on the fairgrounds website, and they are volunteer positions, so they're not getting paid. And like other boards, it does take some, they go in for interviews, and usually those are conducted behind closed doors, and then the commissioners approve of the recommendations that are made by either existing fair board members or if they want to take in public comment, things like that.
We're out of time. I just want to, this figure has popped up in a couple of different news stories, and I just want to say again that the former fair board treasurer Samantha Schmidt returned her last $5,000 paycheck because she was unable to determine whether she had been overpaid, and that's you've written that I think in a couple different stories. Just an interesting detail, I think. I mean, that's quite a figure to not know if you earned or
kind,
not.
Kind of goes to the confusion.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, certainly adds to the confusion. And the reason that she could not determine that is because she had not had a contract with the Fair Board for quite a while.
Yeah.
When she started, she did have a contract and she was being paid, I believe, $1,300 a month. And then that skyrocketed to $5,000. The new bookkeeper is being paid $1,200.
Yeah.
So we definitely saved a bit of change there.
Difference, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, it's after 8:30. I don't any way of summing this up or anything you want to point out as far as, you know, kind of next steps, what's coming, anything like that? I don't know.
Say as a parting idea, all of this is bad and scary. Be nice.
Okay.
Be nice to each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's basically the end of our time here. Anything you want to highlight in this reader or next, Sansere? Any teases you have? What are you working on now?
Well, we will have the last installment of the holiday gift guide. But in terms of news or anything like that, well, spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this holiday season thing's kind of closed down. I did see the readers doing their, 218 word fiction contest?
Yeah.
208.
208. Oh, I was doing 10 words over there.
Yeah.
But so the idea is to craft a little story in 208 words, exactly 208 words.
Exactly.
And those are always a hoot to read, actually.
Yeah.
And there's some pretty good stuff that comes out of those. So
they are very fun.
Pick up the reader and see a little bit more about how to participate in that. Mm-hmm. Get creative.
And once again, you're doing the middle page is a piece of wrapping paper.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite features of the reader. I use it.
Come on, we can use those two pages.
Yeah.
You know, news and stuff. But
yeah, okay.
It is neat that I'm going to actually pick out a small present and wrap
Have put it to use.
Yeah.
It's nice that you do that, and it's a different piece of wrapping paper every week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who gets to choose that?
That would be Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had a distinctive sort of like a Celtic look to it this time, I thought.
Very tartan.
Yeah.
Yes, he was agonizing over it. Ben Olson, publisher and also designer.
Uh-huh.
Does everything, was considering killing himself by designing his own wrapping paper and then thought better of it, so.
Oh, Ben. Well, I'm glad to hear that he put so much thought into it, because it is a nice, it's nice. It's time now for Otto's Eclectic Mix. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. Sansere, thanks so much for coming down and filling us in on the important things that are going on.
Thank you.
Okay.